this up loud.
You're waking up with Frito and Katie.
Here it comes, especially for you. Get on up.
They get me going every morning.
Mornings with Frito and Katie.
On 100.3 The Bull.
KILT-FM, HD1, Houston.
Texas proud.
Good morning. Good Lord. Still digging my way out from all the messages related to Wall and Wednesday.
That was crazy.
That was desperation, is what that was. People
are trying to win from other states.
Man, like, even there was even some of them were like, hey, I've got tickets. I've got tickets.
Oh, like, can we do a trade?
But I just want to, I want to get to the pit. And, it was they're still coming in over it. So I need to tell you, we are not doing any more of the wall-to-wall and, like,
not today.
Not today.
That's what Nick told me. Not today.
Not today. So
I don't know what that means for tomorrow, but not today.
So implying that there still could be opportunities if Nick Russo gives us the word.
If he deems it so.
That you might.
No, if we beg still, enough.
If we beg. I'm not the one. What do we have to do with any of this? Begging. They are the ones that are begging.
If we go to the powers that be and beg and say, do you have any more tickets? Can we squeeze anyone else in the show?
Anyone else.
Either day.
Any last person.
What you got?
Because, like, again, I can feel the collective energy. I can feel the collective stress.
That is going to be a mob scene.
It's going to be. Tomorrow, you have Morgan Wallen. You have all of the Gold Cup matches, mm-hmm. which is the soccer thing. We are doing a pickup party out in Hockley.
Thankfully.
Well away.
Yeah, thankfully.
Well away from all of the chaos. And then they're going to do it. And then it happens again on Saturday.
It does.
I was trying to look at houses on Saturday. I was told, hey, Saturday's blocked off. Why? I got to be at Morgan Wallen. Oh, okay.
Blessings.
Okay, all right.
That'd be nice.
Cool, all right, yeah. We should mention this, just to be clear. We do not have tickets personally to this show. So, we're right in that pile with the rest of you guys. Okay, I thought that was going to be an easy yes or no. I did not know there was a not today attached
well,
to this. I truly didn't.
I don't want to speak too soon.
No.
I don't have the answers.
No.
Rarely do.
Just stick around.
I want to put this out there, though, because, of course, we're doing $10,000 for the troops presented by Mack Hike Chevy Cares. Mm. And our partner in this, our local partner, is Boots for Troops.
Yes.
So I was over there with them yesterday, and Jimmy Rogers, our friend and founder, said Morgan had not yet contacted him for the walkout.
Oh,
and so
he is still available.
Jimmy is available.
Good. Okay,
Morgan,
Jimmy.
If you're listening.
Jimmy would love
great
to do
guy,
it.
Great guy, veteran.
He has the availability, has the time. Veteran does a lot
would
to
love
help.
To do it.
A lot to help the veteran community. One of Houston's finest,
holler,
no doubt.
Holler at Jimmy.
Get at him. There are two walkout opportunities. Two. I'm going to guess he'd be able to make either one.
But that was it. We were trying to figure out, like, who he would tap for that.
Who's the
many
Houston guy? Yeah,
that hail from Houston or that live in Houston now.
Lord,
so
I don't even know. Like, I don't even know how to start. And I don't even know how to start speculating. Mm-mm. My bet would be, like, a J.J. Watt is the easy answer.
And he was just in town.
Right, he was just here. He comes in. It would not be hard for someone to make a phone call. Say, come on down, Morgan Wallen show, pop the crowd. You know, someone like that, I think, is a pretty good fit. Beyonce, obviously, floating. I mean, if you really wanted to.
Can you imagine?
If you really wanted to do something, that is not Drake. Drake is now.
Drake.
Officially a local, even though it's Brenham, which is kind of cheating, but whatever.
Skirts, but.
Again, the man loves to do a cameo. I got a lot of options.
He did just save that saddle shop.
Good morning. It's Frito and Katie. Frito, Katie, the Bull. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here today.
Here's a fun health test. I guess I should say fun if you pass it. A new study found a simple way to predict whether or not you're likely to die in the next 10 years.
The death?
Hold on to your butts. That's next. What's trending? We're Frito and Katie.
Time for What's Trending with Frito and Katie.
On 100.3 The Bull.
You know, I said hold on to your butts. Actually, you can't. I think that's cheating.
Is that?
It took me so long reading this test. Because I'm like, this is impossible. Like this.
How would you even do
this
it?
This doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
That's just my sleep-deprived brain.
Hey.
Because I've got it now. And I'll give this to you. It's something you can do. Now, obviously not when you are driving, but whenever you reach your destination, your house later today, you want to knock it out, see how
if you're going to die
in
10 years.
How you're faring in terms of health and mortality and all of that.
Right.
Stick around. First, let's talk Lainey Wilson. It was just announced that she is getting her very own exhibit at the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Called Lainey Wilson, Tough as Nails. And it'll trace Lainey's steps from her family's farm in Baskin, Louisiana, all the way to her meteoric rise to fame.
Lots of bell bottoms.
The exhibit will include stageware.
Yeah.
Instruments, photographs, childhood memorabilia, no doubt lots of Whataburger bags, and more. the CEO of the Country Music Hall of Fame said, from a young age, Lainey had an unwavering faith in herself. This exhibit will examine the seeds of her career, including the requisite talent, hard work, and ingenuity throughout her 10-year journey in Nashville that fueled her emergence as a globally beloved artist.
I do hope that there's a Whataburger bag in there, because that, again, if you're going to make it canon that Lainey Wilson somehow was
like
eating at Whataburger, which did not exist in Baskin, Louisiana as a child, that then I need to see a vintage bag.
I can't
say it's a lie.
It was a preliminary investigation.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about it that is a little sus.
It felt weird.
It's a little sus.
But big fans of Lainey, get excited. The exhibit opens on July 18th and will run through June of next year. So plenty
very
of time
cool.
to get on by
very,
and
very
check
cool.
that out. Now, this might be good news for some. The U.S. is nixing its recommendation to limit alcohol to any specific amount. So you'll remember before it was like, hey, maybe you shouldn't drink more than 1 to 2 drinks or units
per
day.
Oh, I get you. Yeah, it's like, hey, you're cool if you drink at this level.
Yeah, but you want to be below
this
threshold.
Yeah, as long as you don't do this, you know, you good.
You're moderately healthy. An updated dietary guidelines for Americans is going to get released in the coming weeks.
Right.
And they have done away with those recommendations. They say that there's still danger to your health if you consume too much alcohol. But they're just not going to say that limiting makes it healthier, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It's like they just don't want to get into the...
It's just like a brief statement to encourage you to think about drinking in moderation.
Because frankly, like, look, it's true. It's like 1 to 2 drinks. Oh, you're fine if you don't know that. Like, and also...
And then what are the drinks?
What are the drinks, man? You know, what are the drinks?
Because not all drinks are created equal.
No, some drinks are in a Sonic cup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, let's just be real. It's a little bit confusing. Just say, hey, alcohol, you should probably, you know, keep an eye on alcohol use.
Yes.
Personally.
Yes.
If you want to be healthy, and then leave it at that.
There are associated health risks with that, obviously.
Yeah.
Now, they're saying this could be a major win for the alcohol industry because people are drinking
less
and less already.
Less.
And it's been threatened by heightened scrutiny of alcohol's negative health effects. I mean, everyone's highly aware. But I was also thinking, maybe it's because no one's being honest. You know, when you go to the doctor and it's like, how many units have you had this week?
Oh, Lord. I mean, a couple of drinks, man.
Yeah.
A couple of drinks. No
and
one.
And it's like, no, that was last night. I mean, how many have you had this week? Which might affect certain things like medication or things are being prescribed.
I'll just, again, like I said, I think if you give people that guideline, what they will do is they will try to find any way to fit what they do.
Right.
Into that.
Right.
Oh, I only have 1 or 2 drinks a day. Sure. But they're in like a 40-ounce jug, you know?
Or it's a bottle of wine.
Or a bottle. A bottle
but
is a drink.
In one sitting.
Bottle
one
is a drink.
Sitting.
Yeah, it's just a drink. I just drink it straight. I don't pour it in a glass. Drink it straight out of a bottle. That's what they do. So just say it's, you know,
they said
again.
It's arbitrary. So that's why.
Yeah, and you never know. But per person.
They're doing away with it.
Yeah, I think it's great.
And not so great. The simple fitness test that will tell you whether or not you're going to die in 10 years. Now, obviously, this is not definitive, but they did look at a lot of people aged 46 to 75. And the ones who could do this easily were 6 times less likely to die of heart and lung issues over the next decade.
That's pretty dramatic. That's a big number.
It's called the sit-to-stand test.
Okay.
Or the cross-leg get-up test.
Right.
So all you do is you sit down on the floor and you stand back up. And here's what was really getting me, okay? They said you can't use your arms, fine. You can't grab anything for support, fine. But you also can't use your knees. So my brain is thinking, How in the hell do you stand up without using your knees? What they mean by that is you cannot put your knee on the ground.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so
yeah,
you
yeah,
can't
yeah.
use your knee to help you get up.
You can't like, go to your knees.
But
obviously,
when you stand up, you have to use your knees.
Yeah, your knees will be of use. You just can't.
If you can't use your knees in that way, also might be a predictor that your health is
you're
not
saying
so great.
Basically, sit down,
lower yourself down until you're sitting crisscross applesauce, then stand back up. If you can do it very easily, you're probably in decent health.
Yeah.
Ideally, you should be able to do it without putting your hand or knee down. Again, grabbing onto anything. If you have to, that doesn't necessarily mean that you failed. So they scored each test by starting at 10 and subtracting a point every time support was necessary.
Oh, Lord.
So if you put your hand down once to sit and again to stand, that's like an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
So they're also looking at, do you need help to
How much help do you need?
They also subtracted half a point every time the person lost their balance and wobbled. So people who scored 4 or lower were the most likely to expire in the next 10 years.
Holy moly.
If you're 8 or higher, you're fine. They say it's a good test because it involves all aspects of fitness that are not aerobic. So muscular health, balance, flexibility, weight.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't want to take this test.
They say do it on a rug or a mat in case you fall.
Yeah, because...
And have something like a chair or wall next to you in case you do need help. Don't try it if you have knee, hip, spine, or joint issues or any sort of physical disability.
I was going
to say let's knock this out right now, but now I'm thinking maybe not.
I don't think...
Look, this is one I'll just pretend I...
Just put this in the maybe pile for later. I don't know what's on the rest of our agenda today. If a video has to be made...
I can get up off the couch.
That's all I could. I can. Yes.
Without using my hands.
I can walk to
the
fridge.
Does
that buy me a year? 2?
That's what's trending on 100.3
The Bull. 100.3
The
Bull. It's Frito and Katie's Money Minute.
Freebie for what? For the Money Minute, which
yes.
we play every day before 8:30. It's your chance at 100 big ones. You just have to answer 10 questions correctly in 60 seconds. Oh, but wait. Now it's only 9 because of one of the answers is India today.
That's why we call it a freebie.
India.
Yep.
Remember that. Log that away. If we call you around 8:30, you're welcome.
If you smell
Sean
is cooking.
Sean Pendergast, Sports Radio 610.
Morning.
Till late night again, West Coast.
Oh, I was in bed early for this
okay,
one.
Okay, so, yeah. so I guess that's a good thing.
I am doing this sports report off of a box score, my friend.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I read what happened in the game and sprinted down to the Frito and Katie studio to tell the audience what happened. You'll get no vivid descriptions of what I saw with my own eyes. I was looking at the back of my eyelids.
Do you need vivid descriptions of this?
No. If you're an A's fan, it's like a vivid description of a crime scene. The Astros murdered them again. 11-4 last night. 11-4. The AL, the American League is on notice right now. I know it's the A's that they've been beating up on, a horrible team. But in the last 2 games, the light-hitting Astros, and they have been a light-hitting team all year. They've been in the bottom third all season long of baseball in the offensive stats. They have scored 13 runs and 11 runs in the last 2 games with power. Mind you, with power and force.
With juice.
5 home runs 2 nights ago, 3 home runs last night. Altuve, Caratini, and Mauricio Dubon. Mauricio Dubon, Sacramento native, goes back to his hometown because they're playing these games in Sacramento. Mm. The A's aren't in Oakland anymore. Mm. And he hits a bomb 2 nights ago, and he hits one last night. He has hit home runs in that ballpark as a high schooler, a minor leaguer, and now a major leaguer.
How fun.
Isn't that fun?
I love
that. Circle of life.
Yeah.
That is
how fun.
Very. No, that's I love that for him.
I do too. Well, he's so lovable, Mauricio Dubon.
Yes.
What is going on? And now this is going to be a very fast seg.
Yeah.
The Lakers sold?
Yeah. Shifting gears
what
here.
What is this?
Isn't that wild? The Lakers of all teams. The Lakers. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. They're like one of the blue blood franchises in all of sports.
And they've been family owned. I mean, they obviously have the TV series on HBO Max that documents
the Bus family.
This
goes back to Dr. Jerry Buss.
Yeah, he bought them for like $1 million back in the day.
All these families bought their teams for nothing back in the day, and now it's exploded.
Right.
Yeah. So they sold a majority.
So not even all.
Yeah. So
not even all.
And the value at which the and I forget the name of the guy who bought it. I think he might own part of the Dodgers, too. I apologize. I'm supposed to be the sports guy and know this stuff. When it starts to get over a tier of billionaires buying billionaire things, I start to lose track of caring
Sean,
who it is.
It's never that simple as one guy anymore. Now it's like 20 guys.
Yeah. So this it's spearheaded by one dude who is, you know, he's not a basketball guy. He's probably a hedge fund guy.
Yeah.
The big thing is the team is now valued at $10 billion.
$10 billion.
I've long said that we are reaching a point with the value of these franchises where I think just teams you would never think are going to sell, they're just going to go, you know what? There is a ceiling to all this. $10 billion sounds really good. The Celtics sold a year ago. So we're talking the two premier franchises in the NBA. Whoever was owning them said, we're not getting all the way out, but we're getting out to a large degree. We're selling a big chunk of it. Apparently, Jeannie Buss will still be kind of running things for a couple of
years. Governor?
The governor. They don't call them owners in the NBA anymore. They call them governors in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, Tillman Fertitta is the governor of the Rockets.
Right.
So, governor?
Exactly. Yeah. That's very strange.
Very southern feel to it. Jeannie Buss is still going to kind of run things, I guess, for a couple of years. But it's something to keep an eye on. You know, the McNairs have owned the Texans since the very beginning. I can't imagine them selling that football team.
You say that.
But when things start to get into the 8 and 10.
Billy?
For me, I'm like, for me, it would be like, you know, if it was $10 million, I'd be like, yeah, let's go.
Or
you know,
10,000.
Like, I'd wake up, be like, the Lakers sold for what? Yeah. Like, get me the hell out of
this. The majority owner now, Mark Walter. CEO and chairman of the holding company, TWG Global.
See, a holding company, right?
And the primary owner of the LA Dodgers.
Yes, there was a tie to the Dodgers. I thought it was a Dodgers owner.
Two World Series titles under his ownership.
They have.
The Dodgers and the Lakers.
Got a track record of success. Also owns Chelsea FC.
Chelsea.
Los Angeles Sparks. Yeah. And a Formula One team.
Congrats
on your win.
Sean is coach.
And your titles.
What?
Governor! Congratulations on your title, Governor.
You should have. You should be the governor if you own all those things. Dude. Good Lord.
He might own us right now. What? We never know. Guy owns everything.
What deal did he make with the devil to get that? That's extreme.
Yeah.
All right.
Frito and Katie, 100.3 The Bull. Thanks for having us on this morning. Juneteenth.
Stop what you're doing. Katie is in crisis this morning.
Well, it's been a day and a half of crisis, and I'm sure you're wondering how I'm doing today.
I am.
And the answer is great, because I did not, in fact, eat the ground beef
that expired
a week ago in my refrigerator.
All right. I tried yesterday to give you my sage advice.
The big question was, hey, I don't want to go to the grocery store because I had just been.
Yeah.
And I forgot I had this package of ground beef.
Mm-hmm.
And I checked the expiration, and it expired a week ago yesterday.
1 week.
So it was exactly 1 week
old. It was 7 days.
Now, it was still in its original packaging. Like, I had not opened it and used any part of it.
Yeah.
It was still in the casing.
It's still as it appeared from the store.
And it looked fine.
Yeah.
It didn't smell off. Now, granted, I did not open said packaging, but I came in, and I was like, man, do I risk it? And you said,
you said
you do it all the time.
I said, it's not even a risk.
As a much younger man, did you do that? Because
the
consequences get a little more extreme the older you get.
Exactly. Like when
you're
wise and aged. And I said,
everything.
Do you mean like this week? And I made spaghetti literally. I don't understand the problem. Why is this even a question?
A week seems too long. Like, I'm not saying the date is the be all end all. Like, if I see a date, I'll usually go 2 or 3 days after. 4 is kind of pushing it for me. But 7, and I'm feeding it to my children.
Oh,
so
my
that
God.
Was
oh,
that God, was God, why.
God. That was what kept you.
I decided
to okay.
McDonald's was a better option.
Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I want to discuss this today.
Yeah, just like your expiration threshold.
What's
like,
the threshold?
What's your window? Like when, and maybe someone that works in the meat field.
Oh, there's a few people.
We know,
yeah,
we've talked to them
there's
before.
A few people that know this stuff. But seriously, what's like to me a week is nothing.
A sell-by is not the same
expiration. No, it is not.
It's just they want to get it out for peak freshness by this date.
And they would have, look, I, again, a week is nothing. To me, maybe that's crazy to say. Like, how far will you take this? Yeah. How far will you push this
threshold? We're
talking
about meat, but you can bring up anything else. Yeah, I mean, dairy's one you're not going to go a week. Like, that's
Look, I'm sure there's some wiggle room. Maybe I'm the one that's living dangerously. I don't know, but we will find out.
Call us 713-881-5500. We'll talk to y'all next. 100.3 The Bull. We're Frito and Katie. Phone number is 713-881-5500.
Very, very much a stickler for the rules on this one. Like, it's a week.
Always
it's in the
stickler for the rules.
Right, let's talk to you guys. How far will you push it when it comes to meat? How far, or are you just like Katie, where it's just like
7 days? Just seems like too many days.
7 days.
Now we're
at
8 days.
They're going to throw away good meat. Howdy. Go ahead. What do you think?
That's why you keep an animal around, especially when it comes to meat.
To eat them or to feed it?
No, to throw it to the dog. You would. Okay. So again,
No. So you take a piece of it, and if your animal turns away from it, it means it's no good. If your animal eats it, it's good.
Wait,
what kind of animal? I have dogs.
On, yeah.
Any animal?
Dog, cat.
What you're saying is if I take meat that is tainted and put it in front of a dog, the dog will not eat it and thus tell me.
Exactly.
I've seen the things my dog ingests, including its own feces.
Yes.
That's what
so
I mean.
So I don't know about that.
How bad would the meat have to be?
If it was bad enough for the dog not to eat it, I feel like I would know not to.
I have honestly never heard of this test, and I'm skeptical. Do you use this in your everyday life?
Yes.
Are you talking about cooked meat? Does it make a difference? Like, I obviously would cook it.
It doesn't make a difference whether... Okay, so let me say this. Before I had my middle son, I had a dog, and if it smelled okay to me, but if it was like a little passing, you know, sell by date or what I thought was good,
right?
I would run it past my dog's nose. Now, if my dog went after it, I knew it was good. Okay. After I had my middle son, if it went past his nose and he looked at me strange, I knew not to cook it.
I almost want to just spin this off into, is this a reliable, that is amazing. Thank you so much for the call.
You're welcome.
Maybe like how some dogs can sniff out certain things.
Maybe so.
You get like a meat sniffing dog.
Yeah.
Like a quality meat sniffer.
Thank you so much.
Did you make money on that? Like the pigs and the truffles?
I guarantee you would make some. Howdy, what do you have for us today?
Hi, yes. I just wanted to call in about the expiration date.
Yes.
I am a teacher in the culinary world, and I teach food science, and so we talk about these things.
An expert. Okay.
And so the whole best buy date, and that just means that, you know, it's the best quality by that date, and then it begins to decline in quality after that date. So you're good, you know, I mean. Common sense, you know, does it smell weird? Is it weird color?
Has it turned gray? Yeah, things like that.
Has it turned weird color? You know, is the packaging swollen? You know, like things like that are giveaways, you know, and, you know, in saying that, unless it has a true expiration date, you know, then you're good as long as it, you know, smells good and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So you'd say, I haven't opened the package, and if I find something, then all bets are off.
A different story.
As it appears now, it would be totally fine on the eighth day past the sell-by to just cook it up. And we're talking something like tacos, so it would be pretty well done.
Yeah.
You know, that would be totally safe, totally fine. It might not be as fresh as it could be, but in something like this, it wouldn't necessarily need to be.
Exactly. Exactly. Uh-huh. But you have to know that there are 3,000 deaths a year from foodborne illnesses. But normally that's from some kind of cross-contamination, you know, salmonella or some chicken with vegetables, you know, that kind of thing. Hamburger meat, you're normally pretty safe with.
Okay. You know what? Excellent.
Yeah.
I love the expertise.
I like hearing that because I'm sure that is such a large part of our food waste.
It has to be,
It's just people seeing that day and
you
thinking,
get jumpy
that
and you're
means
like,
it went bad on this day.
In the garbage.
And I'm going to trash it.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't have a dog that can somehow sniff out foodborne.
Hey, thanks for the call.
100.3 The Bull. Texas Brad, we're Frito and Katie.
Everyone wants to weigh in.
Let's get risky this morning. Talking about meat and sell-by dates.
D, okay, let's get your take
Talk to us.
a Katie's conundrum?
Honestly, I think I'm like you, Frito. I don't think a week is anything. As long as it doesn't have like a bad smell or any type of slime effect on it, especially when it comes to meat.
Did you say slime?
I've seen
bad milk of meat that has like this little slimy coating on it once it gets old. Like, believe it or not, I've seen it before.
Ain't no slime. Like, the steak is fine.
So I would, obviously, I think that is a fair way to, you know, to proceed.
I would just say as long as it doesn't smell bad,
right,
you know,
right.
You just have to kind of test it out. Because I've had a situation with ground meat in particular that, like, I'm like, oh, it doesn't have a smell. It's still good. But then once you start cooking it, you can still smell the difference between, like, I would say fresher ground meat than older ones.
So basically, start cooking it. And if you see what happens. But be vigilant.
If slime is out of
it. You know how you cook your food and you just take a little taste. If it tastes sour, girl, throw it away.
Call the hazmat.
If it starts looking like a scene from Nickelodeon in the late 80s, then perhaps. Thank you so much for the call.
You're welcome. You guys have a good day.
You too.
You're listening to Frito and Katie on 100.3 The Bull.
Houston, I have a problem.
Hey, Nina, glad you could make it for this today.
Hey, guys. Let's hope I don't regret this.
It's the worst that could happen, Nina. Let's be real.
Really? You mean besides embarrassment, humiliation, things like that?
Fair enough. All right, so now looking at your email, it says you know Damien from church. That's right.
That's a great sign.
Yes, he's probably a good dude.
Hopefully.
Yeah, well, he is. He's a great guy, and we met in Bible study, and he's also friends with a few of my neighbors. I've seen him around.
Hey.
So I know what he's like. He's not crazy or anything.
Good.
Right.
So that's why I'm reaching out. I really think there's got to be some kind of misunderstanding here. I don't know how else to describe what's going on, but it's really unlike him. He just disappeared. And I'm kind of worried.
Okay.
Right.
Just so we're all on the same page, can you fill in some blanks, some details for us? Like, how close are the two of you?
Yeah.
Had you been heading towards a relationship for, like, a while? Or are we talking early days, early stages, or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a little tough to explain. We're definitely not strangers. I never thought of him, like, as a potential boyfriend or anything. And until, you know, recently, we didn't do a lot of flirting with each other or anything, but he was always really kind and pleasant. And then one day, he just asked me out on a date out of the blue. It was a bit taken back, but I thought, hey, that makes sense. Let's see where this goes.
Maybe he was trying to flirt with you.
Could have been. Well, how did it go? How did the date go?
I got to tell you, it was one of the best dates I've been on in years.
How cool. Really
was. We didn't do anything crazy or anything, but it was just so easy. It's just so easy being with him. That seems bad, but it just worked. It was so comfortable. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
But looking back, Nina, do you think maybe that was a little one-sided?
Yeah.
Like, maybe he didn't feel that level of ease or comfort?
No, I don't think that at all. I don't think that. After the date, we pretty much started texting all the time. I was pretty excited, like, to the point I thought it was definitely going someplace.
And then what? Everything just kind of stopped or?
Yeah. It's like, basically, you know what happened? He just disappeared. Mm. So I'm thinking to myself, did I offend him somehow? Or we didn't fight. He just kind of stopped responding. I'm in the dark about the whole thing.
Well, I'm guessing you thought this over, like, a few times. So, like, what are your suspicions here? Do you think it's, like, church drama or something you're both wrapped up in?
No, not church drama. I don't think so.
No?
I don't know where you all go to church, but we're pretty vanilla type group here.
Okay.
I'm kind of hoping, like, he dropped his phone in the toilet and doesn't have my number ready.
Don't hope for that. We've got to get him on the phone.
Oh, yeah, that would make this very difficult.
Yeah, you know? We'll see if we can't line him up and talk this out. That's coming up next with Frito and Katie.
Houston, I have a problem.
So Nina and Damien met a Bible study.
They did. It's good bad that I said church drama, but it's
no,
real.
No, it's real. I was about to say, she poo-pooed it. She said, oh, we're a vanilla group. That means they are hella dramatic.
Dude, I've been.
That's exactly what that means. I've been in that church group.
I know
exactly what that's code for.
It's part of the package.
I didn't think that had anything to do with this until right now, but hey, let's get Damien on the phone and find out for real. Hey, is this Damien?
Yeah, who's this? This number showed up as like spam likely.
Yeah, it does that.
It does.
We're Frito and Katie. What's going on?
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. So the radio station shows up as spam?
Yeah. Long story, but you can always add us as a contact on your phone.
Yeah, maybe you should. Right. We were wondering if you wouldn't mind talking about Nina.
Yeah, my friends just are not really happy with her. Like, long story short, she's been causing a lot of problems. And, you know, there's a lot to this. I've just been trying to stay out of it.
Yeah, no, we've got time, man. Like, do you want to go into detail?
Spill.
Man, okay. How do I say this? She's like keeping like a cat colony.
Yeah, sure.
A cat. Okay. She has multiple cats.
Right.
You don't like cats.
No, that's not what I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I see how that came up, but this is okay. I don't think it'd be a big deal if she had a few house cats, but like these aren't her cats. They're like, it's like a pack of wild cats that she's just kind of managing.
What does that mean? Like, how do you manage cats? Yeah,
I'll tell you what it means. I manage cats. I feed them.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Is that Nina?
Yeah. She's on the phone. So I want to get my head around this. How many neighborhood cats are we talking about?
Yeah. When you say colony.
Yeah.
Well, I lost count a while back. They live in this maintenance shed I got in the back of me.
Okay.
And I don't know, maybe 20.
20. Wow. Holy cow.
20.
20?
She goes back there every day and feeds and waters this army of cats.
Oh.
Right? Like, I first heard of it, I'm thinking, oh, this is wild, right? So I tell one of my friends, and apparently this solves a huge mystery for them.
Right.
Everyone in the neighborhood was trying to figure out whether suddenly dealing with some, like, this cat explosion.
That makes sense.
What do you mean everyone was wondering? I haven't heard about all this.
Well,
who's everyone?
Turns out it's a huge problem for people, right? They're finding litters of kittens under houses, under cars.
Ooh.
The cats come into the yards and harass their pets. They've got to get animal control involved. They've attacked dogs.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Attacked dogs.
Yeah. Oh. Nina's basically got invasive species taking over this whole dang neighborhood, and she doesn't see this as any sort of problem.
Well, I mean, they're a bunch of babies. I'm sorry they're so triggered by nature. I mean, it's just a few cats.
Well,
really?
Nina, that's more than a few cats.
20 cats is more than a few.
That's 20.
Yeah, and you're encouraging them to stick around. Like, unless you actually want to, like, take them in and, like, actually care for them, like, this isn't something you should be doing.
Right, they're just cats. They need food and water. And what's it to you? If I decide the reason they don't starve, should I let them starve?
They're wild animals. Like, they'll figure it out. I mean, you're just throwing gas on a fire, and it's affecting your neighbors. It's literally affecting those around you. And, like, there's no way I can go out with her and save face. Like, not unless she agrees to stop this.
Wow.
Unless I agree to stop what? Feeding cats? So I'm just supposed to sit and let them die? All you property values don't go down? Am I getting that right?
No, you're being ridiculous. Cats are natural hunters. They'll figure it out. You're just causing, like, legitimate problems for the people and animals in the area, and you don't seem to care.
And you know what? You're being unreasonable. Thanks for letting me know the neighbors are apparently. Honestly, them.
Wow.
What would Jesus do?
What?
If it's a choice between a bunch of people with nice climate-controlled homes and plenty of food on the table, or a bunch of helpless animals who don't have anyone in this world to help them, and actually have people trying to hurt them, kill them, or maim them. I'm choosing the cats. Without question, I am choosing the cats.
Okay.
Your friends suck. No good person would put you in that position asking me to stop. And I'm a kind of monster, so I'm going to jet off.
And with you as well, Nina. Thank you. All right.
Vanilla. Please remember, Nina described herself as vanilla.
Thanks, Damien. We appreciate it.
I know she thinks she's doing something really nice, and I can see how she'd get there. You are helping animals.
Of course.
But you're also hurting the animals, I think. So the neighbors, like, they have some very valid concerns, right? Like, you don't want to feed a colony of stray cats, especially not that size. You know, they all get together. They get dependent on human feeding. They breed like crazy.
They do.
Then they're going to get into fights, and they're going to spread diseases. Like, it's not a good situation.
You are making some valid points. I'm choosing the cats, too.
Oh, no. I thought you were going to call me a cat hater.
No. It's not that. I get it. I do, but I also don't sympathize with them at all. I'm feeding the cats.
It's going to get too big. She's not going to be able to manage it. She's going to get overwhelmed. And then, God help those poor cats. Then they will starve and they will die.
I don't know. If I was in her position, I think I would be. I don't know that'd be that hot. I think I would be doing the same thing. I think I would be on the low, making sure the HOA didn't get. But I would be right there with. I'd be right there with her. Mm-mm. Right there with her. They're cats. Like, why would I not go? Hey, there's a bunch of stray cats. Make sure they have some food. Make sure they have some water. They seem to have shelter covered.
Get them fixed, and then
that would be a plus, right?
Move on, people. Move on, or adopt a cat.
I don't know, guys. What do you think about this?
713-881-5500 is our phone number. Call us. We'll talk to y'all. Not gonna work out between Nina and Damien.
No, it's not.
Nina's got a cat colony, like an actual colony of feral cats. No, it's a colony.
You know, it's a colony.
She's got 20 of them. 20 cats.
Yeah, it is.
Damien knows it's a problem because his friends are her neighbors. They're in the neighborhood, so they know the nuisance these cats are causing.
They want to stop feeding them. Want to quit interacting with these cats. I'm on Team Nina. I'm on Team Nina.
You can't. Y'all can't be doing that with feral cats. Please, come on.
Trisha, what do you got?
Me and my husband are the cat people in the neighborhood.
Good. I'm glad we got some perspective here. Yes, please.
So, see, we have the three strays that just roam the neighborhood, but they go to everybody's house, so everybody feeds them. But, you know, we're the main house that provides them shelter outside from the rain and heat. But I'm with her on the cats. And him, you know, if his friends can't see the good in it or maybe help her, you know, find homes for these cats, you know, maybe that'd be better. But I agree with the vanilla church people. Yep. I like her version of the vanilla. Yep. We're crazy.
But you said y'all are the cat people. You have three cats.
Three, yeah.
She's got
three.
Like 20 cats and probably 20 cats that she knows at any given
more,
time.
There's
like,
more. It's bonkers.
That's
a large number
too
of cats.
Many but, cats.
Sure, but let me tell you, there's not a neighborhood in this city that doesn't have one of Nina in it, or five.
Strays
Ninas.
Are a big problem. She doesn't need to contribute to that.
Right.
Even with the three, we're like, oh my gosh. Like, it seems like a lot, but, you know, they're outside. They're picking up the rats in the neighborhood, and they're friendly with everybody, you know. All the neighbors will let them in their yard, pick them up.
Until y'all stop
feeding
them. Our
dogs, they don't chase them.
What happens if you stop? They're going to get it.
And your pets.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much for the call.
Children.
We appreciate it. They got to keep feeding them. Nina's doing a public service. Good morning. What do you think?
Hi, yes. So, definitely, I mean, I would definitely feed them, but get them fixed. They have free spay neuter clinics.
Yes.
They do.
That's the responsible thing to do.
I want it. And see, I wish I was more familiar with it. I guarantee you there are people you can call in the city that'll do a trap, spay, and release. They'll clip the little ear.
They're in every city.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
You just bring them out there. They'll take the males, right? And they'll get them snipped. And then they'll return them right back to the wild. And then it'll be fine. Like, and then you can keep feeding them to your heart's delight, right? I do kind of wonder about the neighbors, like, being so annoyed with a cat popping around your house.
Well, no, it's not a cat. I think that's the problem. It's the volume of cats.
Yeah.
It's a lot of cats.
Well, this person texts in, I'm all in for one or two strays, but 20 is
20, that's
insane.
I mean, so if you had, like, 20 cats roaming around your neighborhood, would you be
heaven,
cool with that? Would you
heaven.
Like that?
Oh,
not
God.
You.
Oh, sorry. Yes, what would you think?
Well, I mean, keep in mind also that, you know, they keep away rats. They keep away, you know, snakes, you know, big spiders. They also do a lot of other things, right? Because some people are kind of junky. They leave trash everywhere, and that attracts rats. But if there's a nice population of cats somewhere, you won't have that issue.
That's right. Just little things.
Diseases, too. I mean, it's just hard.
I understand. You don't want to ignore the animals. Yeah.
I think it's the number.
Man, yeah, you're suspicious of large numbers.
I'm allergic to cats. That's the problem.
They've become toxic. Hey, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. We'll talk to more of you guys coming up next.
Frito and Katie, 713-881-5500.
Never felt so loved in the city. I felt so surrounded by my people.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Yeah. Y'all, you cannot be keeping 20 dang feral cats. That's insanity. Please, someone.
Beth, all right. Cat colonies, where do you stand?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like I'm talking to my neighbor.
I was suspicious that we would have more people that are dealing with this than we previously. So tell us about it.
We have a lady on the cul-de-sac that leaves her garage door open. She's feeding cats, and they are all over the place.
How many?
They breed in my yard in the middle of the night, so we hear them screaming. They get in my garden and poop all over in it.
Right.
They'll do that. They'll do that.
So she brings them into her garage, but she's not trying to catch them to go get them fixed?
No.
That's crazy.
They keep having kittens underneath my back deck.
Yeah, they'll see, this is the thing.
This is why we talk to Harris County Pets.
This is why we talk to Harris County Pets.
You gotta spay and neuter your animals.
I think that is probably the most important part of this whole discussion. Is you have to, and you, again, we've talked about this. We've been around the horn. Mm-hmm. Trap, spay, release.
Exactly.
Then
exactly.
No one has.
Because if you're feeding them. If you're feeding them,
yes.
The onus is on you.
Yes.
That is your responsibility.
I think I think you are driving your neighbors crazy to some extent.
Has she ever apologized or anything, or does she just get defensive if y'all bring it up? Or
No, she doesn't. And we'll see rats running around out of the gutters. And I had mole problems, and the cats just, they won't do anything.
I'm amazed you have rat and mole problems.
Right, like, there are so many.
I figured you wouldn't have any birds.
They're being fed.
Yeah, that's true.
So they don't have to work for it.
That's the thing.
They don't have to.
Why hunt when you can just roll up to the garage?
Walk into some crazy lady's garage. Feels like a trap, guys. Don't do it.
Thank you so much. Brenda, all right, we're talking cat colonies. What do you have?
Oh, my God, yeah. I worked for a lady. I'm a hospice caregiver, and I took care of this lady's mother. And she had 7 cats on the inside, 9 cats on the outside. And I don't know if the lady who called in about the date knows, but they carry toxoplasmosis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to find out if they carry it without actually becoming sick, and they pass it to humans, and it becomes deadly.
We did see text messages that were like, what diseases? Katie's saying they carry diseases. They can. I mean, absolutely.
Cat scratch fever. That's like an actual thing.
Yeah, it's real.
Cat scratch fever is one thing, but it's different than toxoplasmosis. Mm-hmm. That is actually a disease that gets into the human brain, and 2 of my coworkers tested positive, and I immediately the treatment that you have to do, and these are cats that were vetted. Like, this lady actually took her cats, the inside cats, they were vetted. You know, she'd find a stray and she'd bring it home, but she would vet these cats. But this is a disease that is picked up from their feces and their urine on their feet. They spread it around. She would allow them to come in the house and feed them and then go back outside. And my 2 coworkers tested positive for toxoplasmosis.
What are the symptoms of toxoplasmosis?
Okay, so it starts out as fatigue. You feel like it mimics flu symptoms. The fever, body aches, chills, you know, just the regular, oh my God, I think I have the flu. And then they go in and they treat you, but you don't get any better. Some of the symptoms become milder, but it comes back. The treatment for toxoplasmosis can be 30 days up to a year of antibiotics, anti-inflammatories, et cetera, et cetera. Very, very dangerous. So the whole crazy cat lady syndrome is absolutely 100% true.
I think you might have scared me into being a dog person.
I was going to say, this is why I have dogs.
Holy cow.
And you are the exact reason that I called in, because you were like, yeah, man, I'm right there. I know I have my different patients. I have one lady now who feeds feral cats. There's nothing that we can do about it. She's 104. That's her hobby. But they stay outside. None of them come in. She doesn't. She's unable to now. But, I mean, she always worries about the cats. And we're like, those are feral cats. You can't do that. And she's like, but how are they going to eat? Trust me, feral cats
life finds
ways
a way
to eat.
Life does find a way.
Can I give you this crazy stat? I looked up this toxoplasmosis because I'm all in now. I'm so disturbed. But apparently, it's very common. Over 60 million people currently
60 million
are estimated to be infected, but most don't experience symptoms. And, so you might have it, Frito, but you might be healthy enough to like ward it off for now.
For now.
Oh, thank
for
you.
Now.
Thank you.
That's,
thank
this
you.
Is horrifying. I
Dude, oh, I wow. am so glad that you actually that I got in to let you know I'm serious. I was like, oh, you know, I understand. I'm not a cat person. I'm a dog person. I would never be mean to a cat. But when you find out that this can actually infect you and eventually kill you, that it is crazy and some of the treatments are just absolutely horrible. My two coworkers, they were on antibiotics for 6 months before it actually cleared up.
Wow.
We've all been warned.
Wow. You think cats would be nicer?
Yes.
Do you?
No, I mean, well, they know they're killing you slowly, so.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the call. Oh, have a fantastic day.
Thank you. That's crazy.
Yes, y'all too. Uh-huh. Take care. Bye.
Frito and Katie on the Bull, home of 10,000 for the troops. Interestingly enough, the number of boxes we have in the studio right now somewhere. Like, seriously, it's starting to pile up, which is the worst problem. Or sorry.
The best problem.
Best problem to have.
We can do it with a few more boxes. So yes, if you want to get together with your company, your friends, your church, your whatever, and write 1 to 10,000.
However many.
We would greatly appreciate them.
Hockley, our 290 people, we're coming to see you guys tomorrow for a pickup party, King Ranch Ag and Turf. I think we're going to be there from 3 until 5.
Yep. And if you can't make that one and you live out in the Conroe area, well, good news. Saturday, we're coming to see y'all at King Ranch Ag and Turf from 10 to noon.
So show up.
Write that down.
And remember, we will have card making stations there too. So if you just want to pop in and make a card.
And lots of coloring sheets for the kids.
Totally.
If you're just at that point now,
yeah,
you need something for them to
anyone
do.
Not at that.
Come take a coloring sheet or 10.
What's coming up in trending?
I'm genuinely very confused by this. You hate to hear about anybody getting scammed, but a business allegedly scammed out of $100,000. We're going to go through the details, use this as sort of a cautionary tale, and maybe also explain how checks work. That's next. What's Trending with Frito and Katie.
Time for What's Trending with Frito and Katie.
On 100.3 The Bull.
Oh, of course it was a publisher's house clearing scam.
Wait, whoa. What? Oh, okay. Those are fairly common.
Like publisher's clearing house, those scams pop up all the time.
Yeah.
And prior to them saying that they really could no longer operate the way they had been operating, we did get a chance to go out with Publishers Clearing House.
We did.
And award a bunch of money to someone randomly in San Antonio, which was crazy because I thought they were fake.
I had been on that thing. Yeah, it was like, hey, this just doesn't happen.
Now, we went out with the Price Patrol and it was awesome.
It was great. Great experience.
We're like, hey, if you need some people in the state of Texas
hands.
To just go out and do this on your behalf.
Would love to.
We are available. Mm. Maybe we're too expensive. Now, this is a Connecticut family soda business. They say they were scammed out of $100,000 because they thought they had won an exorbitant amount of money. I mean, way too much money for even Publishers Clearing House. But we're going to get back to this because it involves a check. And I'm confused as to how this went down. So I might need some help working through the details. But first, help me out with this. You ever heard about phones being stolen from security lines at the airport?
No.
Listen to this video.
The thing I'm absolutely never doing when I go through TSA, I am not putting my phone directly into one of the container or bins. I did this once. The TSA agent looked at me and said, this is the fastest way to get it stolen. Number one thing that they see stolen on a regular basis is phones, and that's because they are left out and available, and you know the lines can back up, and somebody could just swipe it, and you're not paying attention until you realize it's too late, and then try traveling without your phone. Always make sure that your valuables are zipped up into your bag when they go through the scanners.
Never have I even thought about I'm usually pretty, keep in mind, like, go through the line, but my eyes are fixed.
On your stuff.
On my stuff.
Well, everybody's.
Everyone. That's
how, I've never heard of a phone getting stolen, because it would be a big deal.
I mean, I could see if you had a bunch of different people all teaming up and putting their stuff in the same bin and grabbed the wrong phone.
Very frowned upon.
You never see that. Yeah, how on earth? How would you?
And everyone, you have those natural, like, points where the line gets jammed because something going through the scanner is a little suspicious. Now they've got to pull the bag over here, and so that's going to take some extra time. So it's like no one is putting their stuff in these containers and having them just shoot through so far ahead of them.
And let's not forget, like, you're doing this, you're busting this caper surrounded by law enforcement officials.
Exactly. And people looking through your stuff. I mean, it's new to me. I'm sure it has happened.
I'm sure someone has lost a phone that way.
It happens all the time.
That's crazy.
Or maybe they're just saying, really, nothing gets stolen. But of the things that are stolen, the phone is the,
right,
the most frequent.
Right. Got it.
Let's talk Amazon Prime Day. You think they know that day means 24 hours?
Wait.
Amazon's extending it again. So now it's 4 days.
Oh, wow.
They could just do five and do a week. I mean, a full week is seven.
They make a killing off of this.
But it was one day when they started doing it, like a decade ago.
Yeah.
July 15th, 2015.
Yup.
It was just 24 hours long.
That was the idea.
Upped it to two in 2017, just kept the name. Now it's 4 days, and they're just going to... just going to stick with it,
four
I guess.
4 days of just ordering all the stuff you don't need.
Which all you already do all the time anyway, yeah. So I don't know what those extra days provide you. The semblance of deals, like Black Friday, I'm on to
you. It's not real.
To confuse things even more, they also added a second Prime Day in 2022 that happens in the fall.
That's right,
technically called Prime Big Deal Days.
Yeah.
But a lot of sites just call it Fall Prime Day. There's also a big Spring Sale or Spring Prime Day in March now, and all of them have early deals, so... Prime year at this point. Like, it's just all Prime all the time.
Insane. Just insane.
The original summer version of Prime Day will last 4 days next month from July 8th through July 11th.
Four days of this.
Prepare accordingly. And back to this scam.
Yeah.
So this is a family and their business is in Connecticut, okay? So a family soda business. They were tricked out of $100,000. The guy says he was contacted by Publishers Clearinghouse or someone misrepresenting themselves as Publishers Clearinghouse, telling him that he had won a ton of money. And in order to receive the money, he needed to verify his employment. So they said, provide us a voided check and then we can give you the cash.
Right.
So when he wrote on the voided check, I guess he just wrote in paid to the order of void, as if it were a name. Anytime I avoided checks or been told to void checks, it's the entirety of the check. I mean, you are all but defacing the thing to write void, so no one can ever consider that to be like an actual check that you've issued.
You've got to dead the thing.
Exactly. So that's what you're doing. But he didn't. So he wrote void in the paid to the order of, which they then, the scammers, changed to the name Viola Smith. And Viola went to cash her check. So he also signed it. Never when someone asks you to void a check will they also require your signature.
He signed a voided check?
He gave a company check with a signature that is his signature and void and blank. I mean, just completely wide open. So I'm surprised that they exercised such restraint and only took $100,000
from the guy. Do you know what this is? Like you said, it's a consequence of people not knowing how checks work anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's not crazy uncommon to find people who don't understand a check in today's society.
Most people don't use them anymore.
You don't. You use everything but a check. Use debit cards. Use digital apps. But when was the last time you wrote a check? And before you take that for granted, find a teenager.
Yeah.
Just find a teenager. Yeah. Ask them if they even know what a check is. I mean, you don't have to get one at your job anymore. You know, it's probably just dumped right into your account. So, yeah, wow.
They say, we know Bill is kind of gullible, but to send a company check, a signed company check, is beyond belief.
Oh, wow.
And again, just to reiterate, Publishers Clearinghouse has been on the Better Business Bureau's list of top impersonated scams forever.
Yeah.
Like going back at least to 2018.
Like you were mentioning, if you do win with Publishers Clearinghouse, they will make it known.
Yeah.
That, I mean,
they never ask.
There's never an ask.
Anything.
They literally show up and they give you the money.
Yeah. It's kind of a surprise.
Yeah. There's not going to be some.
They don't even verify that you are home.
No, they just show up and hope for the best.
Yes.
As crazy as that sounds,
that's their whole strategy.
That's how it's done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unreal.
Nuts. But that's what's trending on 100.3 The Bull.
100.3 The Bull. It's Frito and Katie's Money Minutes.
Eva, feeling smart, feeling bright.
Well, you know, let's see. Sometimes I haven't always measured up to that, but let's give it a whirl.
It's really feeling lucky.
Yeah, that's really a better...
trivia isn't intelligence.
It's just kind of the questions line up.
Exactly.
You know, with what you...
Exactly. Very smart people can be very bad at trivia.
Exactly. All right, so you're trying to get 10 trivia questions correct in 60 seconds. You can pass on any of the questions, and we will come around to your passes. If we have time at the end, you cannot change your answer once you give it. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Say when, Katie.
When. A pattern of weather in a region is measured over a long period of time. It's what?
Pass.
What sport do the girls play in Heathers?
Croquet.
What kind of plant do koalas eat?
Oh. Eucalyptus.
What is the study of heredity?
Pass.
How many dwarfs did Snow White live with?
7.
What do you call an attraction between atoms that forms chemical substances?
Pass.
Where do women traditionally wear a sari?
India.
Alexander Fleming discovered what antibiotic known as the wonder drug that saved millions?
Pass.
It's rumored Vincent van Gogh sold how many paintings while alive?
0.
The abolitionist movement was against what?
Slavery.
A pattern of weather in a region is measured over a long period of time. Is it what?
Pass. I don't know.
What is the study of?
Got through the 10, though, girl. You were cooking. You were cooking
for
a minute.
We were.
How did we do?
We did great. Let's go over some of these bad boys. So the pattern of weather in a region measured over a long period of time, climate.
Right.
Climate. Mm. What is the study of heredity?
Genetics. Yeah. Genetics. Okay.
Also, for some reason, I just kept thinking of that horror movie and I wanted to say hereditary.
Yeah, same.
It's because you're sitting across from me.
One of my all-time faves. Yep, man, I know, love that film. Know. Okay.
What do you call an attraction between atoms that forms chemical substances?
A bond.
Okay, yeah, bond.
Nice.
A bond.
All right.
Alexander Fleming discovered what antibiotic known as the wonder drug that saved millions?
Penicillin.
Accidentally. Mm-hmm. He discovered that accidentally.
Yes, he did.
It's rumored Vincent van Gogh sold how many paintings while alive? 1.
Really?
It is a rumor, though. They think he sold more, but
yeah,
one,
he did more
one
than that.
Documented,
yeah, and
for
then,
sure.
You know, off to the races.
So, yeah. All around pretty great quiz.
Eva, please, sign up again. TheBullHouston.com/contest. Frito, Katie, The Bull. Good morning, everyone.
So, I've been talking to people, and I keep hearing, man, that show at Cynthia Wood's Mitchell Pavilion, it's Willie Nelson and who was it?
Yep.
Bob Dylan.
Guys.
It's Bob Dylan.
I don't know why.
I think it sounds made up.
It does.
It's like, that's not... No, it is happening.
Outlaw
Music Festival.
And it's here.
And right after the 4th of July. So it's July 6th.
Yes. So look, this is... I would consider this a must attend.
Mm-hmm.
Willie Nelson and Bob Dylan. And Cynthia Woods. Like, what else do you want? So we're giving you a chance to win your way in with the Wheel of Texas.
Simply put, we're looking for state symbols.
Mm-hmm.
So something's gonna land on the wheel. We'll give it to you. You'll name the state symbol for the great state of Texas.
Yes.
We do give you multiple choice to narrow it down a smidge. You just have to get 2 out of the 3.
That's all you got
to
do. That's all you got to do. We will help you as much as we are allowed to do so. Just call us, 713-881-5500. We'll get our contestant on the phone next.
Frito and Katie, 100.3 The Bull, testing your Texas knowledge today.
Yes.
State symbols.
State symbols.
Do you know them? Obscure state symbols,
we like to call it the Wheel of Texas. See how that makes it sound more fun? Like when it's the Wheel
yeah,
of Texas.
I joined
like
you day one. It's fine.
I love it.
We're all on the same page
now. It's a beautiful thing. Frito and Katie, good morning. Who's this?
This is Tara.
Tara, welcome to the Wheel of Texas. Are you ready to prove your allegiance to the greatest state in the union?
I'm going to do my best.
Okay.
That's all we ask.
That's all you can. It's all Texas asks of you. Frankly.
Amen.
Okay.
Let's give that bad boy a spin.
Here we go. Spinning the Wheel of Texas this morning.
Tara, state dog breed. State dog breed.
I know the answer to this. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
well, you're not being polled. But, Tara, is it the French Bulldog, the Blue Heeler, or the Blue Lacey?
Oh, I'm going to go with the Blue Lacey.
Got it.
Nailed it.
Which is a very cool dog.
They're really great dogs. They're actually very athletic, too. They can climb trees.
Because they're Blue Heelers and something else.
Yeah. But they're kind of, they're small.
And I know that's the correct answer.
Look them up.
Okay, Dara.
All right, another for the win. Spin of the wheel this morning.
Haven't landed on the biggins just yet. And, oh, the trend continues. Mm. Tara, what is Texas's state pastry? Our state pastry.
Okay.
Is it strudel? Oh, strudel, kolaches, or sopapillas?
I thought I had this
strudel,
one. I thought
kolaches,
I had this one.
Okay. Sopapillas.
Oh, boy, Tara.
I'm going to say, oh, my gosh. Kolache.
The one answer that I cannot accept.
Thank you.
Strudel and sopapillas. Our state symbol. Now, they technically timed out in 2005, but they were co-branded as the Texas State Pastries. Maybe we can give it to you because we are without one, and I think you could make an argument
are we not? So I can't believe kolache isn't the...
You know, let's go to the next one, and then maybe we don't have to make a judgment call on that.
Shakes out here. Another spin. Tara, the Wheel of Texas.
And state native shrub.
Mm.
Our state native shrub.
Oh, gosh.
Not to be confused with our state shrub or other plants. Texas mountain laurel, Texas purple sage, or flame acanthus. Texas mountain laurel, Texas purple sage, or flame acanthus.
Oh, Lord. I'm going to say Texas floral sage.
Texas purple sage, but she's right.
Purple sage.
Hey, she's right.
Look at you, Tara.
That's what I meant.
We didn't even hear the answer or anything.
I was fully going to give you.
I was
going to
get behind kolaches because I think we should petition to have kolaches be our new state pastry, as there is a void.
You know.
And if we want to get into the kolache kvasnik, whatever that is.
Or
both of those then should be our state pastry.
If we had one thing that we did as a radio show to put over the kolache as the official pastry of the state.
I'm
going to
write a letter.
We are going to get to work on this. Tara, you are going to see Willie Nelson. Oh, and Bob Dylan. So enjoy that. Hang on the line.
Thank you.
If you smell
what Sean
is cooking.
I know we were talking Texans in terms of like what would happen if McNair's woke up and shook off a newspaper it's 1985 and saw the Lakers stole
$10 billion
as they were screaming to the bank.
I don't think they. I don't think. Not to go back down that wormhole, but just to cap it off, I don't think I will be alive to see the McNair's sell.
I don't think so either. I think that's a different mentality.
Yeah,
I just think it's a different. You do it for different things. I don't think this was a money investment.
Yeah.
But with that said.
Now, let's get to the football nitty-gritty stuff here.
Yes.
Texans made a signing yesterday.
The signing.
Yeah, they made a signing. Now, this may be a name that not a lot of Texan fans know. I shouldn't say that. If you're a Texan fan who actually went to Roughneck games this year in the UFL, you know who Damon Arnett is. If you're a general NFL fan, you might need to be reminded who Damon Arnett is. Good football player, former first round pick out of Ohio State back in 2020. He's a cornerback, which is people may say, Texan fans may say, well, we don't need corners. We have Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter. You need a lot of everything in the NFL.
You always need corners.
And that is a position, Frito and Katie, that they say in the NFL, you can never have too many of them.
That is correct.
Very pass happy league. You need corners to cover all these big wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Damon Arnett, former first round pick, who is probably best known if you were to go to his Wikipedia page. If you were to partition Damon Arnett's Wikipedia page off in percentages, the percent that's about football is like 30%, and the percent that is his rap sheet is like 70%.
I went ahead and looked at this. It's basically he plays football, now check out this other stuff.
Check out the legal issues portion is very robust.
The man has given a lot of money to lawyers.
He was probably best known for getting released by the Raiders back in November of 2021 because a video popped up of him flashing guns and making death threats to somebody. I forget who it was. And the reason that hit home so hard is because it was a week after Henry Ruggs, his fellow first-round pick of the Raiders that year, killed a woman in a DWI driving accident, and he was, you know, he's in prison now. Henry Ruggs is. Damon Arnett was released promptly by the Raiders. Did get picked up by a couple other teams, like on the practice squad. He was on the Dolphins practice squad. He got picked up by the Chiefs in January of 2022 on like one of those futures contracts where, okay, we're just going to bring you in the building. A week later, he gets arrested for having a weapon on him. He had a couple more arrests. He had an arrest for driving with a suspended license. The cops let him off if he let his friend drive the car home.
Yeah.
He was pulled over later that night driving again.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So he's had some issues. Now, so you're asking probably like, why are the Texans of all teams picking this guy up? Because the Texans, I think as we had this conversation on this show, fewest arrests in the NFL since 2000.
Which is, by the way,
yeah,
we just need to mention this.
Yeah.
It's still a lot of arrests.
If this company had 17 of us go to jail in 20 years.
Yeah, that'd be a lot.
It'd be alarming.
It'd be a lot.
It's a lot of arrests.
We know the NFL. Now, to stay focused on Damon Arnett, he has appeared to have turned his life around.
He's had the big
wake up call. He's done a few interviews. The UFL at first did not allow him back in the league. He wanted to go in the UFL, and the league said, "We can't." No,
so too, even they were like,
"All your stuff was too
way
recent.
Too much heat."
So he had a year. He had to kind of prove that he kind of turned things around a little bit. He's got three kids, you know. So I think that's a big wake up call for him.
So it
all appears that he has turned things around. And I think the Texans look at it through a stricter filter maybe than some other teams do. We don't know anything new about the Jimmy Ward situation, which we talked about last week. His court date is set for July 16th, but this is a really interesting one. The Texans bringing in somebody years ago, I don't know that they would have even touched somebody with a rap sheet like this. But D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio, and most importantly, I guess the McNairs seem to be comfortable enough to at least bring him into training camp and see how it goes. They need corners.
That's about
something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Wow.
If you smell
Sean,
hope it works.
Checkered
pass. Hope
it
works.
He's also a rapper.
He's a rapper.
Content here.
NWG Suave.
Yeah.
Oh, Suave.
No, I don't know if it's Suave or Suave. Usually in the music world, when it's S, isn't it? They always go with the little Suave.
Right. Look, this is something for the playlist later on today.
Thank you, Katie. Yeah, nothing says 100.3 The Bull quite like rapper NWG Suave.
Sean, thank you so much.
All right, guys.
Frito, Katie, The Bull, what can we do for you?
Oh, well, I just would like to make a correction.
A correction?
Y'all are talking about kolaches this morning.
Well, yeah, okay, so I guess in case you weren't listening to the Wheel of Texas, we were talking about how the official pastry of the state actually does not exist.
Yeah, currently. It timed out. It was sopapillas and
strudel. No, that's not what I'm calling.
Okay.
I am Czechoslovakian, okay?
Right.
My mother made kolaches. They are not kolaches.
Kolaches.
Everybody in the whole world pronounces it wrong.
I'm not going to deny this. Not going to deny this at all.
Yeah, they're kolaches. All right. One is a kolach. Two is kolaches.
Okay.
And actually, sausage kolaches are not kolaches.
Klobosniks.
Or klobosnik.
Klobosniki.
Klobosniki.
Klobos is one.
I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to need you to verify this. Because I feel like this does come up whenever we talk about kolaches.
It'll
always be plural because I've never met one person in my entire life eating a kolach.
Exactly.
Really, a kolach is just dough with fruit in it.
Right.
With what they call pasifka on top, which is like butter and sugar.
Yeah. No.
That is what a kolach is, but it's not kolaches. That just drives me nuts.
Instead of fighting this fight, we should invite in everyone, no matter how you say it. We know that it's kolach, but if you want to pronounce it kolachi.
I know now.
Yeah, if you want to pronounce it kolachi.
I chucked that out to the Texan.
Believe me.
We need to get as big of a tent because we need to take over the official state pastry.
Yeah. And yeah, no matter how you say it's delicious.
Yeah.
Well, my grandma, I used to sit in the, and she, they had no electricity. It was just a wood-burning stove, and we'd make kolaches.
Oh, my word.
And they're not sausage and cheese in a bun.
Right. Oh, I know.
That is delicious.
You're going to have the sausage and cheese people be like, well, I don't want kolaches.
Because they don't know. Y'all are all young. I'm 77 years old.
God bless you.
What if we combined them somehow, like a kolache Nikki?
Yeah.
So it's all. It's an all encompassing term.
Yeah, something to.
Oh,
you know,
that's cute. Yeah. That's true. Y'all should do that.
We're gonna get to work on this.
We were successful in petitioning Freebirds back in the day to recognize College Station, Texas, as part of their origin
because
story.
Because they had decided it was inconvenient.
Conveniently, they just said, we are a California-based company. And we said, nay. And they did actually add it to the website before, just forgetting their background altogether now. But
yeah, well, ignore that part. We're going to go to work on this.
I wrote a letter.
Okay.
We know people.
And we will use the correct terminology.
Yes, we will mention kolache.
You can say that someone from Weimer and Schulenburg in LaGrange called you. Nancy.
You know.
That's how you know it's legit.
Oh, she has got some fire kolaches. That's all you had to say, ma'am. Have a great day.
Thank you. Y'all made my day. Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Right. Storage almost missed. That's next.
She got electricity and the kolaches got better.
You're listening to Frito and Katie on 100.3 The Bull. Now, here's the stories we almost missed.
Okay, want to put this on everybody's radar because there's something kind of cool happened locally. Panda Express, they are partnering with the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation for National Reading Day.
Really?
So today they're donating 20% of all proceeds of sales. That's catering, that's online, that's in person, the entire day.
All
28 Houston area locations.
From every panda? Every panda.
All the pandas.
Okay.
You can even do it for pickup or catering or whatever.
Wow.
So we posted or are going to post.
Yeah, hold on. Let me grab
the flyer for this event.
Right.
Because I think you got to show it. If you're in store or in the drive-thru or if you're going to do online, there's like a code that you punch in to make sure that those proceeds go towards Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation.
I am going to post this because the code is like, I'll say it. 3841124.
That's nonsense. That's a bunch of numbers.
It's gibberish.
Yeah, so you can find it where?
We'll put it on the Bulls Instagram page. We'll also put it on Frito and Katie's Instagram page. If you happen to go in for your double orange chicken, because you know you're ordering the double orange chicken. They are gonna want to see it is what it says. Show it on your smartphone. Bring a paper flyer or just do it online.
Yeah, so just save the picture, take a photo of it, whatever, and flash it. That is super cool. All 28 Houston area locations.
Okay, so there you go. Double orange chicken for lunch, y'all. You're looking at me like, it's like, come on, do you order anything else at Panda? Except, I mean, I've had a couple of things, but like every time I go in, it seems like America has decided that is their dish. That is the option for Panda.
No, I was looking at you because of this other story that I have.
Oh, continue.
A not so nice story out of Texas.
Why do we want to ruin this?
Well,
go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead. No, I can leave it here.
This wasn't always be vigilant, people. Always be vigilant. Mm. A 42-year-old Texas man called the police when he discovered his ex-fiance married him without his knowledge. Somehow, she convinced a pastor to certify their union.
Somehow.
Without him being present.
Somehow?
Yeah. So I don't think it was one of those situations because you can, right, in the state of Texas, you can get married if one is deployed, right? Like that can happen.
I think there's an exception somewhere.
I just forgot the name of it, but that was not what was going on in this instance.
Here is a police chief, I guess. Here, check it.
I was talking to the lieutenant. I said, I don't think in 23 years I've ever heard of anybody who managed somehow to get married to someone who wasn't present for a ceremony. I've talked to the victim, and he's going through a significant process to try to fix this at this point.
I have a suspicion.
It's a proxy marriage. That's yeah, what it is.
I have a suspicion.
But usually the other individual is represented by
someone,
another person.
But like, you know, as someone who can legally marry people.
Have we checked that? Do we need to? We might need to.
It's been a few years. I think we might need to go up for a renewal. Like we did this so we could do weddings, if you know, just for like when the occasion calls for it. If you came to someone like me who had maybe less qualms about, you know, marrying someone like in pro, it just gave them like $5,000. Would that person sign this and send it in and thusly just
no, obviously not, because that's not how we get recertified. A big band's going to go next to our names.
Good Lord.
I really just thought that was for members of the military.
I have never
like deployed
heard.
Members of the
I cannot believe, even if a pastor, I can't believe that someone wouldn't have. Wow.
You can also do a double proxy wedding where neither of the parties are involved. So that's fun.
Unreal. Okay. Stay on your guard, people. We'll see you tomorrow.